reading from the book of Exodus. Thus says the Lord, "See, I am sending an angel before you to guard you on the way and bring you to the place I have prepared. Be attentive to him and heed his voice. Do not rebel against him, for he will not forgive your sin. My authority resides in him. If you heed his call, voice, and carry out all I tell you, I will be an enemy to your enemies and a foe to your foes. My angel will go before you and bring you to the Amorites, Hittites, Perizzites, Canaanites, Hivites, and Jebusites, and I will wipe them out. Verbumdamini. The Lord has put angels in charge of you to guard you in all your ways. You who dwell in the shelter of the Most High, who abide in the shadow of the Almighty, say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. For he will rescue you from the snare of the fowler, from the destroying pestilence. With his pinions he will cover you, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His faithfulness is a buckler and a shield. You shall not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that roams in darkness, nor the devastating plague at noon. No evil shall befall you, nor shall affliction come near your tent. For to his angels he has given command about you, that they guard you in all your ways.
Dominus vobiscum.
Et tu spiritu
tuo. Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Matteum.
Gloria tibi Domine.
The disciples approached Jesus and said, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" He called a child over, placed it in their midst, and said, "Amen, I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever receives one child such as this in my name receives me. See that you do not despise one of these little ones. For I say to you that their angels in heaven always look upon the face of my heavenly Father. Verbum Domini. When we watch television, movies, or read books and read about angels or see imagery about them, we, you know, usually have this picture of a being that is really muscular, strong looking, or one that is kind of adorable in appearance as well. You know, and yet these angels, these heavenly beings, do not have bodies. Often they will come in a form of a human being. And today we learn and we can be inspired by the holy guardian angels. They have much to teach us. And at the same time, we can be encouraged and even comforted by God's love for us in giving us a guardian angel. So here are these angels. You know, they are what we would call pure spirit. They are spiritual beings, not having bodies. You know, they have a very refined and very high intellect. Their knowledge has been infused to them by God. And like us, they have a will. You know, but they are, who are created by God, are far higher beings than humanity. And if we take a look at the angels in the Holy Scriptures, those who are good, we see in them messengers and servants. This is their role here, to be messengers and servants of God. And in this, there they are, protecting and giving or serving. And, you know, these holy angels, one thing about them is that they're so obedient. You know, they do what they're told. And as Jesus is telling us today here at the end of the gospel, he says that they are always before the Father, before the heavenly throne, in worship, in adoration. And so here they are, worshiping God, you know, doing only his perfect will. And see, what we have with the angels is that they are so obedient. They know God's will. And yet, you know, they are not human like us. See, they can do God's will so perfectly because, you know, they don't have the bodies to get in the way. You know, we who are flesh, we sin. We have this concupiscence within us, this natural sort of appetite within us for indulging, for more, and even to pursuing what is sinful. You know, of course, we try to master that and all. But the angels don't have that. Here they are beholding the face of God and doing only what he has willed them to do. And so in that, as we look deeper in the scriptures, even from the Old Testament and into the New, angels often are not very nice. You know, because they don't understand humanity fully, because they are not human beings. So here they are, angels doing the will of God and, you know, obeying every word of the Lord. And here they are seeing humanity, and often, you know, we'll see them, especially, you know, you see that with Zechariah, they are very direct with him. And then later on, you will see after Jesus ascends, and there are the apostles and some of the women who are around the tomb. They are kind of almost given an appearance of being a little rude. This is, you know, they'll say, "Why are you weeping?" You know, in other words, like, "Stop crying." You know, "Don't you know what he said? Don't you remember what he said, that he would rise on the third day?" No, so they don't have this understanding of humanity, of sentiments, of emotions, you know, of feeling things, of what is sensible here. No, they only know the will of God and to do his work. No, and yet, you know, we see Jesus, the Lord. Jesus who comes, and it says that he made himself lower than the angels. I mean, of course, what the scriptures are saying in regards to that is that not that he's subjected to the angels, but that he takes on human flesh. And he takes on human flesh, and he fully sympathizes with humanity, experiencing everything we experience except for sin. And so here we see in Jesus, who is now living human life in his time, and we also see that him who has his gaze perfectly on the Father, who's always thinking about him, who always has this connection with him, so wonderfully and profoundly. The angels have this as well. But Jesus shows us this in human flesh. And so that we see here that it is possible for us to serve and to do this in loving obedience to the Father. And what we see in Jesus as well is that Jesus who has taken on human flesh, Jesus who is an example to us of how to live in this world, how to conquer this world in charity, you know, that what he teaches us, and how he even allows the angels to comfort him. You know, Jesus, of course, he's speaking about the angels here. He says that, you know, be careful not to do harm to these little ones, you know, because they're the angels. They have their angels in heaven who are beholding the face of the Father. You know, Jesus, who, yes, he's God and he's supreme and everything, but yet he we can see in him that he allows the angels to be around him. There they are, even guarding him. And so Jesus, who is so generous with us, who of course gives us his grace, his own self, his own life and love, also we see that these angels are also given to us so that we can be saved, so that we can be protected, so that we can stay close to God. Now, in this role of angels, as we see, who are doing the will of God, and often, many times, they are there to protect us, from physical harms and dangers. And we cannot see them because they're invisible. And maybe at the end of our life, we will see how they intervened, how much they protected us from physical dangers and harms. But really, they're keeping us close to God, providing comfort, and doing spiritual battle for us as well against those evil demonic forces. So there they are, fighting on our behalf. And so we see that Jesus, even in his hours, in his final hours, in the agony of the garden, here is the Lord. Praying to the Father. Here he is about to suffer, and the angels are there to comfort him. And so they do for us. So not as we know, not always there are we protected from physical harms. But what the angels are there to do is to direct us toward God, to fight off these evil spirits who will come and distract us or try to discourage us from worshiping God. And so, like the example of Jesus, there he is, there they are, comforting him. You know, there they are, protecting him. And so they are with us as well. And then looking here in these scriptures, you know, once we are baptized, and every human being, first of all, has an angel with them, assigned to them once, you know, they have life. No, but then once we're baptized, you know, they take on this greater role of protecting us, you know, keeping us close to God. And it is in this time when we're baptized that here we are as the little ones here of the Lord. And, you know, Jesus in these passages is telling us that we are to receive him like children. We are to humble ourselves and to believe that he is always with us and that he gives us these angels to protect us. See, but we must need faith like a child to believe it. No, because we don't see it, doesn't mean that they're not there. They are there with us. And so what does this do? This should give us more confidence that God, he truly loves us, that God is doing all he can by sending us his messengers, the angels, so that we can remain close to him, so that we can do his will. No, so here we look now at the angels, and we can be so inspired by their faithful obedience to God, by how they are always gazing upon him, you know, in love, in adoration, you know, in admiration of the Father and his greatness, of his power, of his glory, you know, only existing to glorify the Lord. And Jesus shows us this, of course, in human flesh here. You know, they are, even as angels with him, they're worshiping him in human flesh. You know, but yet we, of course, look to Jesus who, you know, gives us this example. But yet we can be encouraged, inspired by these holy angels here. And so that we, so may we, you know, with through the help of our guardian angels, may we also have this strong, faithful obedience to the Lord, you know, for love of him, that we do all things, you know, so that we can be true messengers of his word, both by our word and example, and by how we serve our neighbor. God bless you all.